You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Pastor David.
Yep, that's me.
And you guys, we have a special guest today. We have Scott Gator here.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Yay!
Yeah, he's trying out for the new co-host.
Yeah. Right. We could always use another co-host. We lost Shauna. She never wants to be with us. Oh. So actually what we're doing today, we're kind of launching into this summer series, kind of a more laid back. Well, I guess they're all laid back.
They are very
really
laid, yeah.
Think about it. But last summer, if you guys remember, we did a series where we just heard testimonies from people in our church, which I love. I love to hear people's stories. I love to hear how they came to love the Lord and how he changed their life. And I think it's good for us to hear that about each other. And mm-hmm. We learn so much about one another. And I thought, oh my gosh, Scott Gator, how long have you been coming to our church now?
1 year.
I was going to say about a year or
right
so.
Year.
And you know, not everybody probably knows you, and I have never heard your testimony. And so I told David this when I was thinking about who to ask to come on. I was like being very selfish because I was like, whose testimonies do I want to hear? So, you know, there's that.
I know. She didn't even ask me.
I know. We've heard yours, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like you've told it before.
I mean, I probably enough of
like
it.
Like in different
at least bits and pieces
settings.
Throughout yes. your different,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
I feel like we've done it on the podcast, but maybe not.
I
maybe
so.
I don't
know.
Where
you going now? You've got your next podcast.
Now right. We've already got them lined. No, right.
Co-host and guest.
Listen, I've already got the job. I'm a co-host. I'm the co-host. I don't have to.
That's too funny. That's too funny. So, Scott, tell us a little bit about yourself before we dive in too deeply here.
Okay.
What brought you to Vinton?
I grew up in Vinton.
Awesome.
A lot of my family's here. Other family members are in the church, Brent and Barb, and my parents attended for a while, but my mom's health issues, she doesn't make it to church anymore too much. So, but yeah, I came back because of that to Vinton
okay.
after about 40 years of bouncing around
wow.
the country and world some. And I really enjoyed that, but I really enjoy being back in Vinton again. So
awesome. Where all have you lived?
So,
I mean, you can just give me the highlights.
Yeah, the highlights are a couple of years in college at Iowa Falls, and uh-huh. that was when I decided that, you know, the plan I had made in high school, I didn't really know what I wanted to be when I grew up yet again after
Nobody
there.
Does.
And so, yes, I joined the Navy Reserves and spent some time in Florida and then moved to Denver when I got out of Ooh. That, which was, I'll get into. And then after that, I went back. So I went in the Navy Reserves, spent 3 years out there in the Reserves, went on active duty. And at that point, I spent a year in Maine and mm-hmm. 2 years on a little island in the middle of the Indian Ocean, Diego Garcia, and 3 years in Scotland.
Wow.
Jeez.
And then 6 years in Washington State.
Nice.
And yeah, and then nice. I was in Dallas after that for a few years, and then New York, New Jersey for a year and a half or so, and
wow.
then St. Louis for 12 years, I think.
Dang.
That was my, and that was nice because I was within driving distance
sure.
here to come home
sure.
for activities rather than making it once or twice a year at the holidays type things. And then the company I worked for got bought by Verizon, and I ended mm-hmm. up in North Carolina for 5 years and
wow.
now back here. So it's been...
Wow.
And that's what a lot of my testimony is about, is kind of how God has guided me. And to me,
yeah.
that's, you know, I've tried to listen to God and follow his mm-hmm. guidance. And I know I haven't always done that, but mm-hmm. that is part of the big part of what shaped where I've been and what I've done.
Sure. Yeah. So... Side note, are all the Gators in town related? There's a lot of Gators in town.
Most are. I think there was one that was way back there, or one, you know.
Are you related to Kim?
They didn't claim that one.
Kim.
Gator. She was a Gator.
She was a Gator.
Yeah.
That's my sister.
Okay, so here's how we're connected then. So I worked for her.
Oh,
At Viking
Galley. At the restaurant. Yes, yes.
When VFR was the Viking Galley, and it was amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yep, when I was in high school.
That's my sister.
Yep, she was really, really good. She was so nice. She was a good boss. Yeah.
And she still pulls everybody in, too.
Right now, right now, any of our listeners that are younger, they're like, what's Viking Galley?
Yeah. It was so good, you guys.
It was,
oh, my gosh.
It was amazing.
You remember?
They Viking had, like, Galley was the place you got to, like, when we went, it's like, we're going someplace special.
Yes. Like, there was steak.
Yeah.
There was a prime rib night. That's when I first had prime rib because we did not get that when I was growing up.
No.
And then that's when I got a, you know, fancy taste.
And if I had a bike.
The Friday night, well, I think they do a fish fry, but they would do like a fish all-you-can-eat buffet.
All-you-can-eat buffet.
And then they would do a brunch on Sunday. That was my favorite day to work because then when I got done, I could eat the buffet
at a discount.
Wow. Oh, man. My goodness. I could put it back, too.
Yeah,
and I was mostly overseas during that time period, so I saw it when I came home to visit, but that was about it.
And he's been to all these fancy, he's like Viking Galley.
No.
Listen,
just because I've been all around doesn't mean I've been to fancy
Vinton,
places.
That was fancy.
Yep.
Yeah.
So before we get into Tesla, because this is a question that, so you've stayed in all the, like, you've hit all the regions of America in a way. I mean, you've
pretty
been
much.
West Coast, East Coast, Southern.
The Southwest.
Midwest.
Is what I really don't, that's the one area I would say I haven't.
So just out of curiosity for any of us, you know, because I'm a born and raised Iowa boy. I went to Missouri for a while, so I haven't really trekked out and lived. Like, where was your favorite place to?
Oh,
and you can't cheat and be like, "Oh, Vinton, I love Vinton."
No,
like,
no, I mean, that's hard. I would probably say Washington State.
Okay,
In that, when I moved to Denver, I was like, "Oh, the mountains out here are awesome." Uh-huh. Someday, no matter what I do, you know, I'll retire back here.
We love Colorado. Oof.
But then when I went to Washington, it's like, oh, they have mountains and ocean.
Yeah.
Okay.
All within, you know, a couple hours driving distance. Okay. So I would say that's probably my favorite.
Okay. So I'm asking for my wife in this. So what's the average, like, temperature? Like, does it get real hot up there? Cool?
No.
Does it stay pretty?
It's much more temperate. It gets hot some, and it gets, you know, they get some snow.
Yeah.
And if you go up in the mountains,
Yeah.
But it's more temperate, and, you know, you hear that it rains all the time, and while that's true to a certain extent, it's a really light rain. You get used to just kind of doing whatever out in the rain most of the time.
Okay.
So. Oh, my gosh. My hair would hate it there.
Yeah.
I don't do well in rain.
Now,
I
mean, North Carolina was nice also because there you had mountains and ocean, too.
Okay.
And I never did a terrible thing. I was there 5 years and never did make it to the ocean while I was there. I went to the mountains.
Nice. But, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So let's dive into the good stuff. So we would love to hear, like, how you came to faith.
I accepted Christ when I was 8 years old. We went to the First Baptist Church here in Vinton.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, Baptist Church did the invitation every week. And, one Sunday I went forward and I remember I got, you know, there it was kind of accept Christ and get baptized a couple of weeks later. It was all a package deal.
Yeah.
And I remember the pastor said that I don't think I was the youngest person he'd ever had, but I was the smallest or the shortest when I could kind of barely see over the baptismal.
So that was still back because the baptism, because that
was
built into the,
behind there.
Like behind the stage.
And that was all cold water. You didn't get any.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like a big bathtub back there. Yes. They open the doors and it's like, you're, it's below, not when I say below the stage, all you can see is your upper half.
Right.
Because it's level with the stage.
But it's built in right in the middle behind
was. Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I've been to a few other churches like that too, but
we should make a prerequisite when people come to do this that they have to bring pictures of themselves when they were little.
Oh, there you go. Scott would be like, "This is my baptism. You see the top of my head there, kind of sticking up."
But yeah, so you know, I pretty much grew up in the church. We attended the Baptist church, and then when we started getting a little older, good friends went to the First Christian Church here, and they had more youth type things and started going to the youth group activities and then shifted there. And then in high school, we actually shifted, and again, it was friends who and youth group activities to, it was Sunnyside Temple up in Waterloo. Mm-hmm. And I think they're Cedar Valley something now.
Okay.
But they had just an amazing, I mean, they had a whole, kind of like the Well, I think, which mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to seeing this afternoon. But it was a whole dedicated, hey, bring your friends in, you know, snack bar and, you know, games and all this stuff, but also spent some time in ministry. And so I was really involved in that. And then in college, I came back every Sunday there to church from Iowa Falls, which, you know, was a little over an hour, not bad drive. But yeah, really, really enjoyed that. As I said, after 2 years of school, I had originally grew up on a farm here. We didn't own the land, so it was kind of one of those deals where, okay, I don't have a direct entry into farming easily. I was going to be a VOAG teacher. And I end up in teaching positions within groups a lot of times, or training positions. And anyway, so yeah, that was my plan. Go to Iowa State, get a VOAG degree, find a, you know, 20 or 40 acres and have a hobby farm someday. But after 2 years, it was like, well, I don't know what I want to be yet. So I had a friend who'd gone into the Navy Reserves the summer before, and he said, hey, you know, you should go in. You can get money for school, which I never used. Kick myself now. But so I spent a year in Florida and went through boot camp and basic electronics and school. And then I was a cryptologic technician, but basically just an electronic technician working on classified equipment and systems. So, and that was where I would say I really came to know Christ or know my salvation. And that I did go through a period there, you know, the Navy, I mean, military, they kind of rip you apart and put you back together. And I read all the time. And I like a wide, maybe not a wide variety, but there was a science fiction book that really kind of threw me for a loop that I read. An author I like, but he's out there, got out there as he got older. And really turned Christianity kind of upside down. And I came to the point where I said, you know, God, I don't know if you exist for sure. And if you do, I don't know if I want to have anything to do with you. But I'd also seen God work in my life. And so I said, you know, God, show me that you're there and you know, who you are if you want me to continue following you. And I was involved with the base chapel in the choir, and there was a couple that was with Navigators that did a lot there. And I talked to the chaplain and you know, talked to this couple, and you know, continued to do my thing. And over the next, you know, 6 or 8 weeks, my faith returned, and I didn't realize why until a little bit later. And I don't even remember her name, which is terrible, but the choir director there was going through health issues and family issues and all this stuff, and she was consistently just this calm, faithful, just, you know, one of those people that God just kind of radiates from. And I realized afterwards it was seeing her going through the things she was doing that helped me say, okay, yes, you know, I do want to continue following God. And so that was interesting. part of that led to the next step was when I moved to Denver. Again, I didn't know I was in the reserve, so finish that, go back to real life someplace other than one weekend a month. And one of the ladies that was in the choir with me, her husband was one of my instructors. But once I got out of his area, you know, they'd have me over for dinner, things like that. And they were from Colorado, and he was at his 8-year point and getting ready to get out and go back to work there. And he's like, hey, there's all kinds of electronics jobs. And I prayed about it and felt like, okay, yeah, this is where you're supposed to do. And I told my parents, and they're like, you have a job, you know, nope, just moving to Colorado. And, and you know, they're going to be here soon. Well, he ended up getting promoted to chief and staying in the Navy.
Oh, man.
But it turned out God opened the door. My mom's best friend here in town, her sister and family lived out there. Uh-huh. And so they let me stay in their basement for, you know, 3 months till
nice.
I and got into a church, met a guy there who was single and wanting to rent out a room. So ended up staying there and involved in a very good singles small group there. And then after 2 or 3 years, at that point, I was thinking, okay, do I want to do electronics or I thought about becoming a chaplain. And then I was like, okay, you know, don't know what I do. And then I'm like, well, I need some more experience with electronics. So I went to go back into the Navy. Well, they pulled a little trick on my discharge from active duty for the reserves that they said, yeah, you can't come back on active.
Oh.
And so I had to jump through hoops to try and get my records changed. And I was to the point of saying, okay, you know, God, this isn't where you want me to be.
Yeah.
And I was talking with my mom, who didn't like me being in the military, and she said, no, I don't think so. I think God's just teaching you patience. It's like, okay. And sure enough, it all worked out. And ended up at that point going to Maine for a year, which is beautiful. The base was right out on the coast. You know, storms would come in, you look out our barracks window and see the waves just, you know, crashing up onto the shore there and everything. And then my first duty assignment was Diego Garcia, which is a little bitty island, a lot of small islands, the whole chain, but Diego Garcia is right in the middle of the Indian, or maybe not in the middle of the Indian Ocean, but it's kind of straight down from Bombay, India, and across from Dar es Salaam in Africa.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Above Australia. So I spent 2 years there. And again, active in the chapel. Kind of one Christmas there was one of the neatest Christmases I've ever done, because we had, you know, a couple Protestant services and a Catholic's midnight mass and breakfast. And I mean, you know, we did like a 24-hour Christmas thing.
That's
almost
cool.
So yeah, it was kind of cool. I mean, you know, they're trying to keep people busy, you're away from your family.
Yeah.
And I was actually there during the first Gulf War.
Okay.
And that was crazy. I mean, you know, when I got there, I forget the population, I was like, you know, 2,500, whatever it was. In 30 days it doubled, which just stressed all the chow hall was running 23 hours a day to feed everybody till they got a second chow hall. The Air Force came in. That was the was where the B-52s flew up to do their bombing missions. And it was an interesting place. It was a good place because you were there in a lot of ways separated from things. Now, for those with family, that wasn't so good. The other thing I found was the impact of mail. Now, you know, we had email a little bit back then, but it wasn't something you really used at that point. And during the war, because they were bringing in bombs and food and all that stuff, they wouldn't bring mail. Well, they would go about 3 weeks, and people would start getting squirrely. And I mean, you would just, I would feel tension, you know. And then they'd bring in a whole plane full of mail, and everything would relax. And then it would slowly start to build until they would. And so anyway, it was just interesting to me the impact that that communication like that really has. So
when you share that, I'm getting a vision in my head of like what the early church would have been like all the anxiety. And then like, we got a letter from Paul. We got a letter from Paul. You know, like there's this like. That's and then it's like to Corinthian, you know, Corinth, and then he starts beating them up. They're like, man.
Yeah,
like,
never mind. We don't want this letter.
Now I don't want to hear it.
Because my brain went to Survivor, for all you Survivor fans out there, and getting, like, mail from home.
Right.
And
right. Yeah, so anyway, it was just kind of an interesting thing. And after that, I was stationed in Scotland for 3 years, which I went to a – well, I had attended a charismatic church in Denver when I lived there part of the time. And went to a charismatic church, a small one that was about half locals and half service U.S. service members. Mm-hmm. And that's one area I think we really... I don't necessarily like all the things with the Charismatic mm-hmm. Church, and mm-hmm. there's things that make me feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But I think there's some... And believe me, I know that it's taken to extreme sometimes mm-hmm. and beyond reality. But I think I think we miss the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
In most of our, mm-hmm. a portion of it. I think there's a happy medium. And like I say, yes. I don't know where it's at, haven't been able to do it, but that's one of those
You're
things.
You're in good company.
I've yeah. had a conviction of for years mm-hmm. that, you know, yeah. we should have some speaking in tongues and yeah. some, mm-hmm. and I will say, you know, I went up to the front and never slain in the spirit, mm-hmm. you know, nothing. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I would never have thought was real, I don't know if you remember when the whole holy laughter
yeah,
thing came yep. through. Hmm. Well, one night I went up there. Again, nothing happened while they were praying for me. You know, other people are falling down around me. And I went back and sat down. And all of a sudden I felt just like heat went down through my whole body. You know, mm-hmm. it's just like felt it. And just joy hit me. And mm-hmm. I wasn't laughing, you know, hysterically, but I was just laughing.
Like cackling?
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
David says I cackle. I mean, I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, usually I have a loud laugh, so
it was a compliment.
That's a compliment. Oh,
yes, okay. Because it was. There's a lot of joy to it. I heard it from all the way downstairs.
I'm loud.
So that's, yeah, that's me too. Yep, shocker. Yep, yep. But the other thing that happened while I was there that I always kind of, you know, fit in is. The power of prayer in mm-hmm. that and how God answers prayer. Working the schedule we did, we worked eight shifts in 5 days.
Woo.
Or six shifts in 5 days. So, and yeah, that was it. So you worked 2 8-hour shifts, say during the day, then you switched to mid. So you had 8 hours off and then you had to come back in at like 11 o'clock at night. Mm. And then you had 8 hours off after the second one and had to come back
that
in at like
brutal.
Three. Yeah. It was. Now, and for people with families, you know, like yeah. I say, being single, I could run home, get, you know, six and a half hours sleep and back yeah. and no problem. But there were a lot of people who they just went the full 24 hours because they had things going on with the family. Yeah. And, you know, so it was kind of brutal. And so, you know, I didn't always make it to church. And sure. I'm one of those who God has changed me lately, but I'm always late, or always was late, you know? So,
really?
So anyway, oh, yes, yes.
That's right. You don't seem like
I don't seem like
I know,
that now.
Because he's the second person here on Sunday.
On Sunday, but yeah, like, that was yeah. not me before. And,
you really are a new creation.
I am, God has been slowly, it took till I was in my 50s till a lot of this stuff finally started to to take. But
that's amazing.
But you know, so I prayed God help me get to church regularly. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes I couldn't, but when I could... And 2 days later, the pastor called and said, hey, there's a lady that lives out by you who doesn't drive and needs a ride to church.
Oh.
Could you give her a ride to church? And I'm like, yep, God, I got it. But then now the lateness kicks in. So I was still always running late. So I prayed, uh-huh. God, you know, can you help me get to church on time?
Yeah.
And 2 days later, the pastor called and said, hey, the guy who normally opens up the church and greets everybody is transferring uh-huh. back to the U.S. Would you like to take that job?
Wow.
So, you know, there are humorous ways, but yeah. God does answer mm-hmm. prayer. Yeah. And you know.
There's another great lesson there, though, that shows that when we take responsibility in God's church, that makes us stronger. And, you know, like, so yeah. like the example
True.
Is like,
yeah.
you know, being even part, like when you have a responsibility to be here, it makes yeah. it a lot easier to be here.
It does. And I found that long ago. And that's why whenever I get to a church, I plug in someplace.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. That's
something
that
we
helps
noticed
me.
About you. Like you just,
yeah, you jumped right
you
in.
You jumped right
you
know? In. And right. I've seen that as you've been telling your story, how everywhere you landed, you just dove right in. And
well,
I think yeah. that's so cool.
This is good. Most places, it takes a full year,
yeah.
I found, to plug in. You know, sure. this was kind of cheating. Brent and Barb were here.
Yeah.
You know,
we're
I know
awesome.
A lot of the people. You're awesome. Yeah, yeah. It is. This is an, you know, this was an awesome move and an easy one. God was just like, oh, yeah. Plug and play.
Nice. We like that.
That's awesome.
So... and then after that, I transferred to Washington State, mm-hmm. and it was interesting because when I was in Denver many years before, I'd felt like God had called me to missions. I was kind of going through a dry period, and we had a, is it InterVarsity that puts on Urbana?
Might be.
I think so. So we had an, a rep from the, that was in our church that worked with the local colleges that said, hey, we're having Urbana, which is a big missions conference, which was between Christmas, day after Christmas and New Year's.
Oh, wow.
And it's called Urbana because it was at the University of Champaign-Urbana in Illinois. And amazing speakers. And I wasn't interested in missions at all. But I was kind of going through a dry period, and I thought, you know, I'm in college back, you know, we had gone back into college while I was out there, and I'll just go. This will be good, you know, don't care about missions, but it'll be a good time. And it was like God hit me with a 2x4. It's like, yeah, you really need to, you know, work in missions. And I never made it into missions directly, but I really do feel the Navy is a missions field. And I've been on like missions committees on several of the churches, things like that have helped support missionaries. But so when I got out there, found a local church again, kind of more semi-charismatic. It was an independent church, but the pastor who founded it had been a Lutheran pastor who got the Spirit and so founded a church. They didn't even have church membership because of the problems, you know, that you had to be a member and all this stuff, that you were just a regular attender. But they had a missions trip that they announced. And I was like, cool, I, you know, interested in that, signed up for it. Well, it turned out to be a youth missions trip that they went to Mexico every year, Culiacan, Mexico. And I'm thinking again, okay, it's interesting how God kind of keeps changing your direction as you go through life. You know, I'm not worried about youth, but, you know, I'll go down, be a, help be a chaperone and just do the mission thing. And that sucked me
don't
in.
Don't let Shauna hear you talking
about well, that sucked me into to youth group for about the next 5 years.
I thought that. I thought Carolyn, if she's listening, is like, ooh, missions. Like, like people are just writing your name down.
And Scott, it's S-C-O-T-T.
So I was really involved with youth and, you know, everything from junior high up through. We'd never had a college group, and you know, pastor said, "Hey, would you, you know, help start a college group?" So we did that. But it was the same kids that,
How old would you have been then?
Mid-30s.
Okay.
Mid-30s. Cool. So yeah, and I was probably a worse kid than a lot of the others when we went camping and things like that. But yes,
I get that. Yeah. I mean, for I felt that way many times. Yeah.
So yeah, very interested in, you know, missions there, and I was still in the Navy, which was kind of nice because I had 30 days leave, so I could take time off to go, you know, for a week to do different things. And I decided that I was going to actually go back to Diego Garcia because I need to save some money, pay off some debts, good place to do it, and then probably get out. And they called me on a Friday. And in the Navy, in your job, you've got one or in a big group, you know, two or three folks who do all the assignments, where you're going next. So you have to, you know, you try and keep on their good side because they're the ones that are going to control where you go next. And I got a call on a Friday afternoon saying, we're going to send you to Washington, D.C. next to the Naval Research Laboratory, which would be very cool, unless you tell us by Monday. On Monday, you don't want to. And I'm like, well, that's not what I was thinking, but that would be kind of cool. So this was in February. I went up in the mountains and camped out that weekend to pray and froze my behind off camping out Friday night and Saturday night. Did not hear a thing. And when I got back to church Sunday morning, standing in worship, it was one of those few times where I felt I actually heard God speaking in my head. And he said, do you trust me? Because for me, the Navy was very secure, you know, very interesting. And I said, yeah. So I told him I didn't want it and got out at that point. And so anyway, it's been an interesting, you know, and I have not always followed, and I have, you know, I've got all kinds of issues of my own, but I've tried to do. Yes, exactly. And then kind of the same thing. I got into telecommunications. in Washington State. And 3 months later, they said, oh, by the way, your job's moving to Dallas. So I moved to Dallas, was involved in a big church there that had, you know.
What church?
And don't ask me that now. that's what I was trying to think before. I don't remember, but they had their own singles, like Sunday service on Sunday night with like, you know, 100 people. I mean, it was, yeah, it was very cool. So I was very involved in that and kind of on leadership. And they did men's retreats and I did computer support and you know, PowerPoint for those, things like that. And then we got bought by a different company and my job moved to New Jersey. So I moved out there for a year and a half. And then my dad was having some health issues. So I wanted to get closer and God opened the door for me to move to St. Louis, which was great. You know, 5.5 hours or so away. And, and went from, you know, a technician working on the mid shift to the manager in 2 years over the network operations center. And that's a 24-hour, you're never shut off type of job. I did it for 2 years, and they're like, yeah, you need to do something else. I'm like, no, I feel fine. They're like, no, you really need to do something else. And after 6 months later, it's like, oh, yeah, I really. And I found
that
out that, yeah, most people only last a year. So I'm like, okay, I guess I didn't do. So I kind of bounced back and forth in between that, and then Verizon bought my company. And they gave me the option, they gave some of us the option to stay where if we wanted to there, but the work was moving to North Carolina. And so again, I prayed about it and felt like God was really saying, nope, it's time to move to North Carolina. So I did it, and again, found a very good church. It was funny, I went to a church called The Journey in St. Louis.
I've heard of those,
And the church I went to in Raleigh is Journey Church. Now they've changed their name, but was at the time. So
that's cool.
Yeah, you know, and
I have a friend that goes to a Journey Church in Florida.
And it's they're all kind of separate, not but
I didn't know if they were.
It's not anything like that. But yeah, it's funny that they had almost the same symbol though, and things.
Yeah,
you know,
that's crazy.
It's kind of interesting. And the guy I worked with to transition all our work out there went to this church. And so again, very involved there, coordinated with Habitat for Humanity to do work, you know, a couple Saturdays a year for the church to do things, worked in the welcome ministry. They had a monthly, you know, come in, meet the pastors, kind of like you do with pizza with the pastor. But this is kind of the, hey, this is what high level, what we believe. Here's all the pastors and the staff just to introduce them. And so they had facilitators that, you know.
Did you get pizza?
We did not get pizza, but we got breakfast because it was earlier. So,
nice.
Yeah. So, very involved there. They threatened to not let me go.
See, that's how we would feel too, though.
I told
them, don't be telling them to go somewhere else, okay?
Yeah, because I talked about it with some of the other groups, and I told the head pastor, it's like, well, yeah, I think I'm moving back to... he's like, yeah, I've been praying against it. So anyway, it's nice to be, you know, wanted and appreciated that way. But this was... But the other nice thing that God did in that, I had never bought a house because bouncing around so much, I was leery of getting into it, not being able to get out of it. When I moved out there, it's like, okay, it's time to buy a house. Well, the way house prices had changed, when I moved back here, I was able to pay for a house. And again, I bought a very cheap house, but I have no mortgage, no anything. And if I hadn't done that 5 years...
Isn't that crazy?
So I see how God kind of, you know, moves the pieces around and, and, you know, has, for me anyway, has, you know, and, you know, it's tough and in some ways being away from family and things like that, but I kind of plug in wherever you're at.
On God. And I think that's why you plugged in everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Is because you know
that was my family while I was there. So
gosh, I love that so much.
So anyway, that's who I am and kind of where I've been to get where I'm at now.
So not necessarily as far as a specific of your story, but one of the constant themes that we just were joking about is just the importance of getting plugged in. So let's just ask that question or talk about that is like, how has been getting plugged in, like making sure that's a priority of getting plugged into a church, involved? How does that aided then in your growth as a Christian and follower of Christ?
Again, by being plugged in, as you said earlier, having that responsibility got me to church regularly. Mm-hmm. And because I'm an introvert. I'm very friendly and very open. You know, I don't know that people, but I can happily sit at home with my cats and ignore everybody else.
Yeah, I can.
And I'm bad about, you know,
like,
I warned my family because they, you know, they all get together for everything. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not used to that anymore. Yeah. You're going to have to give me some time. I'll get back into it.
Well, you're a cat person. We like you. There we go. Now, because we're cat people too.
But yeah, you know, plugging in and that's where things, well, just like faith in action here, it's by doing those things that I make the connections. And I'm terrible. I move and I hardly ever keep in touch. I have a few people that, you know, and in many cases, they do more to keep us in touch than I do. But yeah. Sure. I like people. I remember them. I pray for them. I'm just really bad at following up with them. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, you are welcome. Awesome. Thank you for the opportunity.
It's been so good to like just hear more of your story.
Yeah.
So anyone that's listening today, if there was anything that you would like people to be praying about for you, other than like that God would just keep you here.
So not that God would prepare my next church, wherever that's at.
Like, is there any specific thing we could be praying about?
Yes, I really would ask for prayer for my mother. She's got Alzheimer's, and my dad's still taking care of her. And you know, that's an area I need to do more with, I feel.
What are their names?
Rick and Beth Gator.
Okay, yep.
So,
yep. Okay.
But part of the, you know, prayer is we didn't do anything to prepare for this. You know, no insurance for, like, a nursing home or you know, healthcare. And so it's just guidance on what to do next. And again, it's in God's hands. I've got faith that he'll bring us through it. But I just
it's
really,
overwhelming, though.
It is in a way. So, and I just, you know, it's like, okay, what do we do? Because that's not going to last, you know, that can't go on forever. So, so anyway, and that would be my prayer request.
Awesome. Absolutely.
Perfect.
All right. Thanks for being here, and thanks for listening.